Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kalowski!
This is Bucks Uncensored podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, or you can subscribe iTunes, Podbean, Podcast Addict. I'm Justin Pulowski, the commish. Thank you to Bricado's Sandwich Shop for being our sponsor a long time now. And thanks to each and every one of you for helping this podcast grow each and every week. Follow me on Twitter at Commish Online, Facebook.com/Commish Online, and let's get to it, shall we? Bucks and Bears coming up on Sunday, no matter when you're listening to this. Again, the podcast post on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. This will be our preview podcast, but before, and I'm not even sure how much I'll dive in to the actual matchup between the Bears, who I think the Bears are a team on the rise. They seem to put it all together 2 weeks ago against the Vikings, bye week last week, offensive line's healthy, defense flying around, physical defense. They run the ball on offense. But they've got some good receivers to throw to on the outside as well. And we know the Buccaneers' defense has been the cure-all for any offense that might be struggling. But there's a bigger issue here. It's an issue that I have talked about ad nauseum on this podcast for a long time. It's excellent, excellent to see that people are catching up to what's being said on this podcast and posted at JoeBucksFan.com. I thank you for finally opening your eyes and not just blindly going through a football season thinking the same players are the good players on the butt. No. And when I say something needs to be done to the team and the organization, I'm saying it because I believe that's the way to fix the team. See, I am a firm believer that the true fans understand what's going on. The true fans are the ones that are pissed off. Anyone can be a sheep and just follow the organization and the team and think their team can do nothing wrong and we have to support the team. Bullshit. We sold our tickets for double the price for Sunday's game. Couldn't be more proud of it either. You want to play like shit on the field? Then I don't have to invest my money in you. I can easily just watch from home. Then when shit goes south, it's Bucks Uncensored, I can just change the channel to the Red Zone channel. I don't have to sit there time after time, home game after home game, and just get beat the fuck down. Not going to take that anymore. Don't have to take it anymore, especially when somebody's going to pay double the price for our tickets. Yes, please. Just paid for one of those shitty preseason games. But then again, I'd take a preseason game over a Bucks home regular season game right about now. Forgive me if I ever choose to complain about a preseason game again after what we've seen on the field inside Raymond James Stadium by the home team over the last 7 years. But as I said, people are catching up. And it was the end of last year and this year where I have called for the purge. Purge the roster. Cut the dead weight. Get rid of the losers. JoeBucksFan.com. Put it all together in perfect harmony. In exquisite words that you can read and you can listen to here. They get it. I get it. I think most of you get it. But it's time that everyone gets it. Okay? Coach after coach. Yes, I get it. I didn't think Greg Schiano was the right guy, and he was fired. I didn't think Lovie Smith was the right guy, and he was fired. I'm not ready to just throw in the towel on Dirk Cutter. I actually like Dirk Cutter. And I think he's got more potential than the last three coaches combined for the Bucks. And I think Dirk Cutter actually gets it. And as I've said on this podcast, for those of you criticizing Dirk Cutter, put yourself in his shoes. How would you coach this team? Because maybe he looks at his team and says, what the fuck did I get myself into? And that's where we start with Joe Buck's fans article that was posted on Friday. And I think they did an excellent job of laying it out. Can the Bucks make a run? Sure, blah, blah, blah. But they start with last year. And it's so key to start with last year. Because when Jameis Winston stands at a podium and pounds on that podium and screams at the top of his lungs, metaphorically speaking, he didn't actually scream, but he did say, in not so many words, we have to get rid of the losers in this locker room. We got to get rid of them. He said if the players cared as much about winning as his coaches did, the Bucks would be a force. No, I don't think Lovie Smith was the answer, and I think Lovie Smith deserved to be fired. But it wasn't all his fault. It's the common denominator, folks. It's been the players. That's why you have a losing culture. That's why you have a losing attitude, and that cancer has been growing inside that Buccaneer locker room since the day Raheem Morris took over. And I'm not saying that Raheem Morris is the cause of all of this. Perhaps firing John Gruden for Raheem Morris was the cause of all of this. Trying to gut the entire organization and build it up with an unproven defensive backs coach as your head coach probably wasn't the smartest move. They took chances on players they probably shouldn't have taken chances on. They've stuck with players probably longer than they should have stuck with them. There's no rhyme or reason to this franchise. I've said it for a long time, yet everything and every year remains the status quo except for the head coach and the coaching staff. That's it. Everything else remains the same. In 7 years, there was one change of general manager, but even then, the players stayed the same. And Joe Bucks Fan has joined me in the effort to finally rid this organization of that cancer that might have grown much larger than any of us think it is. But you have to start chopping away at it. They go on to say, this year twice. I mean, your head coach has to do this? This year twice, Bucks coach Dirk Cutter has talked about a losing culture in the locker room. Since the Atlanta loss, Cutter spoke openly about how he needs to find a way to motivate players to reach some of his players, professionals. They write, one of the Joes. Pretty sure I know which one. Pretty sure he told me he was going to write this. I mean, again, put yourself in Dirk Cutter's shoes. It's like, God, you work your entire career to become a head coach. You work closely with Jameis Winston last year. You think, all right, I'm going to take over. We're going to energize this organization. You've just got a bunch of duds in that locker room that don't give a shit. The only time some of them have given a shit was when it was contract time. They get their money and they disappear. Bucks defensive coordinator Mike Smith said part of the reason the Bucks have been roasted on defense is bad effort. How do you coach effort? Derek Brooks saw it. John Lynch saw it. Everyone saw it that was there for the Falcons game. I mean, hell, the Falcons were running right past Lavonte David. And it's about time. Listen, it's fine and dandy if everyone wants to start calling out the Bucks in general. Some players have been loafing. Fuck that. Call them out by name. If you see them loaf, if you see them lazy on the football field, if you see them not performing the way they should, let's start calling them out by name. What are you afraid of? I really do think people are afraid in this area. God, grow a set of balls and call out the players. Lavonte David has sucked this season. He got his money and he's fucking disappeared. It's inexcusable to pay an outside linebacker $10 million a year and the fucking guy makes no splash play, none, zero splash plays. Give me a break. That is the biggest waste of money on the roster right now. But I can go down the list. And honestly, as much as I think Gerald McCoy should be doing more as any quote-unquote elite player, as quote-unquote one of the highest, if not the highest paid, come on. I think he can do more, but there's way bigger waste of money than Gerald McCoy on this roster. And I don't defend Gerald McCoy. But DeMar Dotson got his money. He's been terrible this season. Terrible at right tackle. Doug Martin gets his money. Disappears. Well, injuries happen. Well, injuries happen far too often for Doug Martin. But he might be back this week, so that's good. If it's a rookie, call him out. If Vernon Hargraves is lazy and loafing on the football field, which I think we all saw against the Falcons at times, and we definitely saw against the Raiders, is he thinking? Is he a rookie? Is he just getting beat? Or is he being lazy at times? Fucking call it out. You know, it's time to hold. If the players aren't going to hold themselves accountable, and the organization's never going to hold the players accountable, because the Glazers will allow the players to play however they want, and we just got to keep them around. Make sure you, hey, Jason Light, make sure you sign all our players. We don't want that PR nightmare. Oh, geez. I mean, that's what's happening. I'm telling you, that's what's happening. We can't let Doug Martin leave. Hurry up. Give him a big contract. We can't face that PR nightmare. To me, the goal as the general manager is to improve the roster. And quite frankly, I think if Ezekiel Elliott would have slipped just a little bit, I wouldn't have been surprised had the Buccaneers tried to get him. I think Jason Light wants to improve at running back. I don't think he was allowed to. And I think he signed Doug Martin to a contract, and then what else is new? Two healthy seasons in his entire NFL career. Rookie season, contract year. I don't think there's a coincidence there. Joe Bucks fan goes on. They talk about the loafing. Says, Joe's had enough of hearing this spit. This is Bucks Uncensored. We can say shit. Joe's not suggesting coaches, players, and Hall of Fame players pipe down. No, sir. The culprits need to be called out. Thank you. Thank you. Joe's just sick of how these gutless clowns stay on the roster to infect the locker room. These guys are worse than MRSA. The season is not over. Not yet. Joe understands AC/DC loving general manager Jason Light can't start throwing guys overboard. He's not going to, not during the season. Crap. Has to come to an end. I love this article. I love it. It's one of my favorite articles of all time. He's right. Jason Light's not going to cut anyone during the season unless they do something drastically wrong. Austin Safarian Jenkins. I'm not asking for Jason Light to do that, and the Joes aren't asking for Jason Light to do that. All we're asking and praying and hoping that he's doing is saying nope, nope, and just moving players to from one side of a whiteboard to another. And those are the players I'm getting rid of after this season. Fuck. You watch the film every week. If it's so apparent to guys like Derek Brooks and John Lynch, if it's so apparent to guys like you and me, and we're watching these players just go out and they're getting worse and worse each week, and it's not a lack of talent, it's a lack of care. They don't want to be great. How can you build a great franchise with a locker room that's full of players that don't want to be great? They don't give a shit. They want to make money. It's clear. Why else would they be playing? They're not playing to be great. They're not playing to win. They're not playing for their teammates. They're selfish individuals who got their money and they're going through the motions. Now, Joe Bucks fan, a little hyperbole here. And that's fine because I used the exact same hyperbole when Jameis Winston stood at a podium at the end of last year. I thought they were going to do this last year. They didn't do it at all. They didn't do it at all. My number one objective, my number one priority the past offseason was to get rid of the losers. Get rid of the losers. I don't think Jason Light had free reign to get rid of the losers. You can point to the Glazers for that. We don't want that PR nightmare. Oh, we had to get rid of Warrick Dunn, Derek Brooks. We had to deal with a lot back then. Okay. Well, nobody on your roster right now is Derek Brooks or Warrick Dunn, so you can go ahead and take a knife to that shit and slice it the fuck off. One of the Joes says, Light should call Jameis into his office after the season. Hand him a pen and ask Jameis to jot down the numbers of the quitters on a legal pad. And then Light would walk out of the office to provide Jameis privacy. After Light returns an hour later, he should then go about trading or cutting any number on that list. Said it last year. I'm glad they're saying it again. And I really hope that Brian and Joel and Ed get their heads out of their asses and realize that you have to make the tough decisions now. No, I'm not talking about the coach again. We've done that. The tough decisions are on the players that you thought were the nucleus. They listen to way too much talk radio. God, because God, they listen to this talk radio and they're just spewing this bullshit. And the issue is the Glazers listen to that. They listened to it when people called for Gruden to be fired, and they fired him. Then they listened to it when people were like, yeah, Raheem Morris, he's up and coming. Then they really just do whatever people say on talk radio. It's mind-numbing. It's got to make any true Bucks fan sick to their stomach. It's just so dumb. Well, this organization never re-signs their own players. So now they're just going to re-sign all of them. Even if they're the wrong players, even if they're the players that are inflicting or infecting the other players with their horrendous illness of losing, they just want to keep everyone around because for years, because they were making bad draft picks and potentially still are. I'm not talking about the current ones from the last couple of years. I'm talking about the ones from 4, 5, 6 years ago. I'm talking about the players that once upon a time were supposed to be the nucleus of this team. Well, those players are deep into their prime now. And they're not playing that way. And so you have to ask yourself, while they may be talented, are they hurting the team mentality-wise more than they're helping team with their physical traits? Goes back to being a loser. Good quote here. Also, Joe Bucks fan pointing this out from Bear Bryant, who said, quote, "The first time you quit, it's hard. The second time, it gets easier. The third time, you don't even have to think about it. There's one thing about quitters you have to guard against. They are contagious. If one boy goes, the chances are he'll take somebody with him. And you don't want that. So when they would start acting that way, I used to pack them up and get them out or embarrass them. Or do something to turn them around. It's nothing's been done. The only person that has had any consequence for what has taken place over the last 7 or 8 years has been the head coach. And that's because they were hiring the wrong coaches. I firmly believe that. They never got the guy that people could rally around. Raheem Morris was not that guy. Greg Schiano was not that guy. Lovie Smith was not that guy. But I think Dirk Cutter has some of those qualities. But it's gotten so bad now, and that infection has grown so much, that if they believe in Jason Light, you know what? The onus should be placed on the Glazers now. If you believe in Jason Light, if you believe in Dirk Cutter, you hired them, you brought them in to run your organization. Jason Light, a couple of years after your big search and you found this diamond in the rough, and Dirk Cutter last year, who you allowed your general manager to make the call. If you believe in them as a duo, allow them. Release the leash. Let it go. Let it go. Don't hold them back anymore. Sorry, I have a daughter now. We're not too much into Frozen, but it's on the way. But allow them to do their job. And if the two of them look at this roster and say, major reconstruction needs to be done, we feel we have drafted some guys to build around, but we need to fix the rest of it. Or those players that have been here will infect the newer players with this losing mentality, and it will continue to be a gigantic shit show week in and week out. The last 8 games of this season should be an evaluation. If you loaf, if you're lazy, if you show a lack of effort, you are in deep shit. Maybe you want to play somewhere else, but maybe you don't. If that player is decent, you try and trade him. If they're not, you fucking cut him. You cut him. You start stripping it down. Then after the purge is made, and I think at least 4 guys, 4 players need to go immediately after the season. That won't be a guy like Levante David. I don't believe it, because I think he has some value on the open market. You should be able to trade him and get something for him if you feel he's one of these guys who, again, is showing a lack of effort, is loafing, is not playing up to his potential, is not playing up to the money he's owed, is not creating splash plays, and you feel if Jason Light and Dirk Cutter stand at a board and say, you know what, we can do without him, he's not helping our team, I still think he's got value to where you hold on to him and maybe try and trade him. I'm talking about there's 4 guys, there's got to be 4 guys on the roster where they start a value. They're watching the film and they say, this guy continues to show a lack of effort. This guy really, you could tell at practice, he just doesn't give a shit about winning. You pick 4 guys and you cut all 4 of them at the end of the season and say, it's a new day. We're not putting up with it anymore. We're going to exorcise the demons. And once those moves are made, you pull Jameis Winston, Quan Alexander, Mike Evans, Ali Marpet, Robert Ayers, Russell Shepard. You pull them into an office. And you say, here's the deal. We're gutting the team of this losing bullshit. We expect each of you to build it into a winning culture, a winning mentality, where every day, every moment, every second, every minute of every day is devoted to winning at everything you do. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be intense. We are here to do a job, and damn it, we're going to fucking get it done. The only way you can do that is get rid of the players that don't give a shit about that. You want to build it up right? The only way to build it up right is to get rid of the things that are weighing you down. And I think it's very clear to many of us that the Bucks have a lot of things weighing them down right now. The only way they can fix it is if the Glazers allow them to let it go. Bucks and Bears on Sunday, other than the continued analysis in analyzing each and every player, whether they're here long term or short term. I said the Bears are a good team coming in off a bye week. You want to see your players that are going to be here long term get better. Jameis doesn't have much around him, but I want to see him get better. I said on the last podcast, I need a moment from him. And I know he doesn't have much around him, but man, I think he could still have that moment. I don't know if it's going to be against the Bears, but sometime this season, a fourth quarter comeback where he puts the team on his shoulders. He leads them down for a game-winning touchdown. You know, I was thinking about this the other night. The great quarterbacks of all time, you always see it when you watch a broadcast. When they start talking about fourth quarter and overtime wins, fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives, that's what the great quarterbacks are measured by. They're not measured by stats. Shit, Blake Bortles was incredible when it came to stats last year. Are you kidding me? He was a great fantasy quarterback. There's always been great fantasy quarterbacks. But the truly great quarterbacks, the legends, are they the competitors? Are the ones that win? Are the ones that get the job done when the job is needed most? Need to see that from Jameis before this season's out. No excuses. Listen, you can use the excuse of nobody around you the rest of the season, but in one game, in one moment, when they need it most, will everyone around you to that victory? He's had opportunities to do it in his first year and a half as a quarterback, and he hasn't, in my opinion, hasn't done it yet. I think the closest is the Falcons home game in his rookie season, but I remember that Giants game that year, he had a chance, didn't do it. The Rams game this year, didn't do it. I just would really like to see, even the Raiders game where he led them down the field and got a touchdown, it was like a 75-yard drive. 45 of those yards were penalty yards. It's hard to say, oh, boy, Jameis really took his team down the field with a whole lot of help. The Bears come in. They're really good. They're really good. They got good linebackers. They've got a good pass rush. They're really clicking with Vic Fangio's defense. Offensively, they have both of their Pro Bowl guards in. Strong offensive line. Big receivers on the outside. Jay Cutler at quarterback, say what you want about him. I think if he gets a running game and he has that offensive line in front of him and the Bucs don't get a pass rush, I think Jay Cutler could have a lot of success. And, oh, by the way, Jordan Howard's a pretty good running back. Well, by the way, they got late in that draft. But the Bucs didn't need another running back, did they? Zach Miller, it's a good Bears team. It's a good Bears team that's get, and this is what frustrates you, right? Last podcast I talked about some of the things that make Bucs fans jealous when they see quarterback with a lot of weapons around him. This is another thing that makes Bucs fans jealous, is that they're looking, we're all looking at a team like the Bears and saying, really? We were the team that was supposed to get better as the season went on. And instead, the Bucs seem like they're getting worse as the season goes on. And then you look at a team like the Bears, and, boy, they're getting better and better. They're staying in close games. They beat the Vikings before their bye week. Then they have their bye week. Now they're coming to Tampa. It's going to be a physical, good physical game. John Fox, good coach. Next week at Kansas City, then home for Seattle. Oh, boy. This isn't a must-win to win the division. It's not a must-win to make the playoffs. Let's not be naive, right? I mean, we're not stupid on this podcast. It's a must-win if you don't want to go into a downward spiral that you have no idea of when it's ever going to end. Because going to Kansas City, they've been bad. They've been kind of off and on. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. Alex Smith is back for this week. See if he stays healthy for next week. But they're going to be tough on the road. Then you are at home for Seattle. You know, you're 3-5 now. Yikes. 3-6, 3-7, 3-8. I mean, 3-8's a real possibility. And it makes me fucking sick to be saying that. Hey, on a brighter note, it's the weekend, man. Beautiful weather. Everyone's happy. Love my life. Love living here. Just football team frustrates you. It's all good. There's plenty of things to be happy about. Trust me on that. I'm Justin Pulowski. This is Bucks Uncensored. We'll play, we didn't have any of your voice memos. I do apologize, but we'll make sure we get plenty of those in our reactionary podcast coming up. I'll record that Sunday night, and we'll have it for you live at joebucksfan.com early Monday morning. Remember, you can always interact with the podcast by recording your voice on your phone and emailing it to us at bucksuncensored@gmail.com. Again, I'm Justin Pulowski at Commish Online on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podcast Addict, and Podbean. Nailed it.